Purios Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel 1-3. The Mishnah is now going to begin to define which types of rulings by the Sanhedrin fall into the category of being potential cases for the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. So the first is, our Mishnah here is going to basically say in principle that if they make a mistake that involves like sort of a simple reading of the Pasuk, the kind of thing that any school child or a tzaduki who just gets out his, you know, Bible and starts reading the verses says, doesn't say that, it says that black and white, that's not correct. So that wouldn't count. That, based on a pasuk, it has to be, they made a mistake regarding a part, but not a whole thing, and therefore it has to be some sort of interpretation, the Gemara understands, an interpretation that isn't explicit in the pasuk to the point that it would be something that a tzaduki who reads the verses, you know, as they are without a Masorah, would not know is incorrect psak. Okay, so that's the understanding of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah are not quite as clear as that. Here, what it says inside is, Horu Bezdin La'akor Eskol HaGuf. If the Sanhedrin makes a ruling, which will, like, essentially not acknowledge a whole section, a whole mitzvah of the Torah, and say, that's not a mitzvah, that's not a problem, go right ahead. Amru, for example, they say, A Nida B'Torah. No such thing as Nida restrictions. You can don't have to worry about menstrual cycles. Or, Ein Shabbos B'Torah. There's no restriction of Shabbos. You just can, you know, no such thing as a prohibition of Malacha. No such thing. Or, Ein Avodah Zarah B'Torah. There's no restriction in the Torah about serving idols. So then, Hare Elu Paturin. They may have made such a foolish ruling, but the point is, the Bezdin will be exempt from having to bring a Par Helam Davar, even if the majority of the Jewish people follow that ridiculous ruling, still doesn't obligate a Par Helam Davar. And it's going to be based on a Pasuk. The Pasuk at the end of the Mishnah reads, Shneamar b'ne'elam davar, it says a matter, like a something is hidden from them. Davar v'lo kol aguf, something's hidden from them, but not everything, not the whole package of a particular mitzvah. So we give examples here, and the examples make things a little complicated. It says, for example, Horu levatel miktsas ulakayim miktsas hare elu chayavan. If they would say part of the mitzvah is to be observed and part is to can be ignored, then that's the kind of situation which they say after the fact, oh, we made a mistake, you can't ignore that part of the mitzvah, and meanwhile everyone did an Avera, and the Avera carried penalty of Karis, so then you bring the Par Helam Davar. Ketzad, for example, Amru Yesh Nida B'Torah Aval Habal Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom Patur. They say, yes, there are restrictions in terms of Nida, but a woman who's a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, that means a woman who sees blood between days 8 and 18 of the onset of her cycle, because if she starts bleeding, that's the beginning of a new cycle, and for the next 7 days, whether she bleeds or doesn't bleed, she's in Nida. Mido Araisa, after 7 days, as long as she stops bleeding and goes to the mikvah, then she's a Tahora, no need to wait for any time. But then after that, between days 8 and 18, if new blood appears, she has to be afraid she's becoming a Zava. And that would mean that she has to get a whole day where she doesn't see any blood. And in fact, if she's for 1 day or 2 days blood, then she has to get a whole entire clean day. And if she sees 3 days in a row of blood, then she becomes a Zava Gadola. So the point is, this is the idea of a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, where she's supposed to wait a day of no blood if she has blood, yes, in between days 8 and 18. If it be day 19, it's like a new Nida period again. Okay, so the point is, let's say, for example, they said that's not a problem, no issue of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, for example. So then that's a good case of an example where they made a mistake, and therefore you could have a Par Helam Davar. Similarly, if they say, Yesh Shabbos B'Torah, yeah, there's such a thing as Shabbos, Aval Hamotze Rishus HaYachal Rishus HaRam Pater, but to do Hotzah, to transfer something from a private domain to public domain, that's okay. So then that would be like a part of it, and therefore they would be liable to the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor if the majority of the people followed that erroneous ruling. Or Yesh Avodah Zarah B'Torah, they say, yeah, there is such a thing as Avodah Zarah, there's a restriction on that, you can't do it, Aval HaMishtachav Pater, but to bow down to idols, that is okay. In all these cases, when we say pater, we mean okay, it's permitted to do, like pater and mutter. Hare elu chayavan, those are the scenarios where they're liable for the Par Helam Davar. Shneimar v'ne'elam davar, davar v'lo kol haguf. It's a something, a davar, a part of it, but not the whole thing. Now, that's the somewhere in the Mishnah. The thing is, I told you, the Gemara says the standard is the kind of thing that a stuki wouldn't necessarily disagree with a Beit Sacher Psak, meaning it's not black and white in the verses. Okay, now the problem is with each of these cases, there sort of are indications of psukim that the Bezdin should really know better. In the first case, we talk about the Nida. So the point is that there is such a thing as a Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom in the psukim to some degree, in as much as it says, V'safra la, she has to count a day. So she has to count the day. There's some reference there in the pasuk to counting. So then, why did they make the mistake? So it asks you, for example, that because the pasuk says kol yemei zova, all the days of her bleeding. So they might say, for example, not just that any blood's not a problem, but they say, you know, they say, yeah, blood during the day is a problem, blood during the night is not a problem. So there at Stuki, we have no objection because it says yemei, the days, not the nights. So the Bezin says blood during the night is not a problem, and people follow that ruling. That would be a case of Paralim Dover. Similarly, when you have the Shabbos issue, so there's a pasuk which says, "Al yetze ish mim komo," a person shouldn't leave his place. Now, even though that's really we're talking about tchum and the restrictions of traveling, it's also understood to be transferring stuff with him. So if they would say you can't transfer, say if they would say you could transfer from Rishus Yachad to Rishus Rabam, so the tzduki might say, "No, you can't. You have to al yetze ish mim komo." So it has to be something where, like, they're not going out of their place. Like, for example, they're just throwing from the Rishus HaYachid or reaching, or handing over Moshit from the Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRam. That, if they said is mutter, it's not mutter. People follow it. There could be a Paralim Dover. And finally, we talk about here the Avodah Zarah. So it's very strange because Hishtachavaya, bowing down to idols, is explicitly forbidden in the Psukim. It says, Lo Tishtachave Le'el Acher. You may not bow down, prostrate yourself to another God. So what in the world? The answer is, well, let's say, for example, that the Hishtachavaya of the Pasuk is talking about like a, what's called Pishut Yadayim Raglayim. They're like fully prostrate on the ground with their arms and legs stretched out, like on the ground. So that you can't do. But let's say, for example, they said, well, if you just bow down from the waist, or, you know, you're not stretching out your legs, just your hands or something, that would be okay. Well, that isn't okay. And if they said it and people followed it, that would be the issue of a Parhelam Dovah Shel Tzibur, potentially where they'd have to bring the Parhelam Shel Dovah.